Let us pray. Lord, you shower us with blessings, more numerous than the raindrops that we've seen this week. We can't count them. You are so generous that we see no end to your mercy and your blessings. We confess that we are not always as grateful as we should be, as we could be, as we will be. We confess that we are not always as aware of you as we could be. We wait until the tough times to call upon you, to praise you, to beg mercy from you. We long to be your disciples, following you every day, but oh God, it is so hard sometimes. We just forget. We get careless because we care about other things more. Help us to be more careful of our relationship with you, to devote more time to it than we do at present, to rest in your loving arms, to take time, quiet time, to spend with you. We long to do it. Help us to prioritize it. And some of us, Lord, are striving to give up things that just aren't good for us. Help those who are struggling with smoking, struggling with drinking too much, struggling with anger, struggling with pain, emotional pain and physical pain. Help us to be strong and courageous, to tackle the evil that oppresses us, to call on your name and to succeed. To succeed through the power of your Holy Spirit, to succeed in defeating evil in whatever form it presents itself. We have so much that we count it a blessing to be able to share it with others in all sorts of ways. And we ask that you equip us to do just that as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. How many of you know the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? We're not doing that one today. Today's passage has to do with the feeding of the 4,000. Now, in the feeding of the 5,000, how many loaves were there? Five. That one's easy to remember, right? How many fish? Two. Okay, feeding of the 4,000 is different, so I want you to listen pretty carefully. For those of you who haven't been with us this year yet, this year we're concentrating in our sermons on the questions that Jesus asked. There were over 300 of them. We're not doing all of them. Only one per Sunday. And today's has to do with the question Jesus asked was, how much is left? Okay, so I already mentioned the feeding of the 4,000 and how much is left, so you got the connection, right? But we ask that question all the time, don't we, Nan? Especially after funeral meals. You can't plan a funeral meal and know how many people are going to show up. The last funeral meal, the church cooked for, 100 people. And there were more than 100 people at the meal, at the funeral, but they didn't all stay for lunch, so we had lunch for 40 left over. We're always asking that question. How much is left? What are we going to do with the leftovers? So one would anticipate that when Jesus asked how much is left, he might be going, okay, are we going to use it for another meal this week? Are we going to take it down to the Salvation Army for them to give it away? What are we going to do with the leftovers? No. That's not why he was asking the question. And we can't understand why he asked that question until we back up to the beginning of the chapter, which is chapter 8 in the book of Mark. Some of you are just starting to read and understand the Bible for the first time. So, and for the rest of you, I'll remind you that the book of Mark is one of four gospels in the Bible. Gospel means good news. There are only four books in the Bible that tell us about Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death. Four out of 66, a very small percentage. The rest of it is about everything that came before Jesus and about the church he left behind. In the book of Mark, it is the gospel that moves the fastest. Mark just moves. Mark's favorite word is immediately. Seriously, it appears many, many, many times in the Gospel of Mark. Here's the larger story that leads up to the question, how much is left? During those days, another large, by the way, this story, the feeding of the 4,000, comes two chapters in Mark after the feeding of the 5,000. So it's the second big feeding. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." Okay, how many of you get anxious when the worship service goes 61 minutes? They were listening to Jesus preach for 3 days. I don't want to hear any complaints about 65 minutes. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way. If I send them home hungry, never going to happen in this church. Because some of them have come a long distance. Some of them had come so far that there was no way they would make it home without collapsing, without starving, without water in the desert. His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" Okay, this is two chapters after he fed 5,000 people, and this time there are only 4,000. And the disciples are still asking the same question. Where are we going to get enough bread? They've already seen Jesus feed 5,000 people with leftovers. But But they ask the same question again. So what does he say? He asked them a question. How many loaves do you have? Now, lest you think about loaves as being nice, big French loaves, no. The loaves they're talking about in here are flat bread, which travels well. Anybody anywhere in the Middle East and including the Indian subcontinent, I made this one at home yesterday. This is what a lot of people throughout the world call a loaf of bread. It's a personal serving, not a full loaf. This is called a paratha. It's a layered bread. Just wanted to be clear on that. They had seven of those, and they might have been even smaller. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. Can you and your ushers in a little while are going to distribute bread and juice for communion? I've always wondered what would happen if we served bread and fish instead. Jesus served bread and fish much more often than he served bread and wine. Of course, there may have been wine with the bread and fish. The people ate and were satisfied. Now, there were more than 4,000 people. 4,000 was the number of men. They only counted men. Kids run around too much. Can't get a count on them. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus to test him. And they asked for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign?" Why did he sigh? Two chapters ago, he fed 5,000 people. He's just fed 4,000 people, and they're asking him for a miraculous sign. Even I wouldn't be that dumb. Or would I? It's hard to believe in miracles, isn't it? Plus, the Pharisees wanted to trip him up. They wanted to prove that he couldn't do miracles. But by this time, Jesus was fed up with the doubters, with even his own disciples who asked, "Where are we going to get bread?" With being questioned and challenged at every turn. So he said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. How much was left over after he fed 4,000 people? And they forgot to bring bread on the boat to eat. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." Watch out for the yeast. That's how we know it was flat bread, not leavened bread, that they had with them and that they ate that day. Okay, why was leaven a problem? Why was yeast a problem? Wasn't really. They often used it. But when we see those words and when we hear flatbread being preferred, he's talking about the yeast of the Pharisees. He's talking about the puffed up self-importance of the Pharisees in contrast with the simple people. They discussed this with one another and said, "It's because we have no bread." He's mad because we forgot to bring the bread. We didn't bring lunch. He's mad at us. Anybody here ever imagine why their spouse, mother, father, kids are mad at them? Imagine the reasons instead of actually asking them. It happens, doesn't it? Aware of their discussion, of course Jesus was aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up? How many? 12. 12 baskets of leftovers. 12 baskets of leftovers after feeding 5,000 people with 5 little loaves of bread. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. And he said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Now, lest you think that the baskets for the second feeding were like the baskets for the first feeding, I need to tell you that there are 2 different words in the Greek. The baskets that he's talking about, the 12 leftover baskets of leftovers for after the feeding of the 5,000, were perhaps like this or flat. Anyway, they were straw baskets, small straw baskets, 12 of them left. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? You could feed quite a few people with 12 baskets, even little baskets of bread. But imagine this. The 7 baskets of leftovers after the feeding of the 4,000 were not little straw baskets. The word that was used means a big honking rope basket. Huge. Think laundry basket. The same word is used to describe a basket that was used to pull Paul over a wall. A basket big enough to hold a human being. So just in case nobody was impressed by 12 little baskets, this time Jesus's miraculous multiplication of the resources resulted in enough food to feed the Salvation Army, Love Inc., PB&J, this congregation, and probably 12 others. 7 enormous baskets full of leftovers after feeding 4,000 people. And then, after seeing that, the Pharisees asked for a miracle. We forget, don't we? It's so easy to forget the abundance that God provides for us. So we ask for one more miracle. And if we don't get it, we blame God. Twelve small baskets were left the first time. Seven enormous baskets were left over the second time. And he asked, "Do you still not understand?" We don't. Over the years, people have questioned whether this really happened or not. Thinking that perhaps instead of Jesus actually multiplying the bread, what happened was that the little boy came forward with his little lunch and people were so embarrassed that they contributed theirs and everybody threw in what they had and everyone was fed. And you know, I've done little demonstrations in church to show how that would work. I've actually passed a basket around on a Sunday morning when I was preaching this text and said, "Anybody who has anything to eat, put it in the basket." And then I pass it around again and say, "Everybody take something to eat out of the basket," and there's always something left over. It's usually a piece of very stale gum. So that could have happened. But to have seven baskets that big left over? Nobody could conceal that much food. That was a miracle. God is in the business of making miracles happen. But more importantly, what this tells us about God is that God is generous. That God not only fulfills our needs, but pours overflowing blessings on us, even when we don't see them, even when we forget them. And that, my friends, is one of the keys to God's character. And when we get it, when we understand how generous God is to us, then what happens is that all of those overflowing mercies and benefits and gifts just want to jump out of our pockets into somebody else's. And that's why it's so easy for us, when we truly love God, to want to love other people and share the leftovers. And it can be so addicting, sharing leftovers, that some of us then start to share first fruits. That's what the Bible calls giving to others before you even take for yourself. You see, giving is addictive. It's a positive addiction that can work against all those other evils in our lives. And God invites us to be part of that work. God invites us to be part of that work as we become the body of Christ in the world through the sacraments. You see, it's such a powerful thing to think that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus planned a sacrifice for us. He knew it was coming. And he even gave thanks for it. Because before he broke the bread and spoke those words, he said, "Thank you to God for providing the bread." And because we know he was going to say, "This is my body," that means he gave thanks to God for providing his body to be broken. I can't think of a more powerful image than that. He gave thanks and blessed it. Then he gave it to the disciples and he said to them, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And then he took the last cup of that Passover meal and gave thanks to God for the cup. And then he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of Jesus and his powerful sacrifice for us, we call upon God and ask God to bless these gifts of bread and the cup. By them, make us one with Christ. Make us one with you. Make us one in service to the world. Poured out, overflowing, with leftovers reaching out to the world. Let us pray. Lord, we're not worthy to come to your table, but only say the word and we will be forgiven and blessed to become your hands and your feet, your voice in the world. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, the communion table is open to all who seek a relationship with God. As the communion servers are coming forward to receive, I just want you to know that you don't have to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion here. You just need to want that relationship with Jesus. And communion today will be in the seats. The ushers will bring it to you because we want it to be possible for anyone who wishes to take communion. We have a gluten-free alternative in the center of each plate. Will the ushers come forward, please? Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for you. Take and drink." The last time we had communion together, I invited you to go from this place rejoicing in that sacrament, rejoicing in that action. But it might be a little tough to leave here rejoicing if you don't know our final hymn. You see, people have been asking me to sing old hymns, and today I picked one so old nobody knows it. So I'm just going to run through it once, just a little bit. The choir has learned it, sort of. They had a chance at it anyway today. And some of you will know it because you're as old as I am. I didn't say that, you did. Somebody out there is saying older. "There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Shall showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. I know this is old because we sang it when I was a kid and it was one of my favorites. And we sang it every April and May. Why? Because it's raining outside. And I think the minister that I grew up with wanted us to get the message that rain is a blessing, but so are so many other things in our lives. Are you ready to try it? Stand up. Blessings. There shall be seasons refreshing. So Jesus asked the question, how much is left? And he wasn't asking it in order to figure out what to do with the leftovers. They were out on a boat. They'd left the seven baskets behind, far behind. No, he asked that question because he wanted people to remember their abundant blessings. And now, go in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you today and evermore. Amen.